Inside the Paranormal Radio, your hosts Dave and Teresa are almost here. Sit back, turn it up, and take notes, because we're about to drop some knowledge your way. This is Inside the Paranormal Radio, and we are live now.
That's right, we are live. I am Dave.
And I'm Teresa.
And this is Inside the Paranormal Radio. Tonight, we're talking about Reiki. Now, if you don't know what Reiki is, it's back in the old days, they used to call it laying of hands and many of other things. But Reiki is natural, energetic healing. Anybody can do it. It's all a matter of focus and concentration and what else, Teresa?
Transference of energy, that is, I guess, to the person who believes in it, is from God, and then, but you don't have to necessarily be of a particular religion. So it can work for anybody, and it doesn't matter how smart or how stupid you are, you can learn it and use it.
Right on. So we've interviewed yesterday a guest of ours. Her name is Missy, and she is here in Cincinnati. She's actually a part of our paranormal investigative team, Cornerstone. And what makes Missy interesting is that she's been involved with Reiki for about 10 years now. However, she's been a registered nurse for 22 years, the last five spent in an ER of a major hospital system here in Cincinnati. So one of the few times where we can bring somebody that brings the science and the medicine, the pills, all of that stuff that modern science and medicine uses today, but brings that metaphysical twist with it. And in her own words, you'll hear how even in the emergency rooms and in the hospital beds of her hospital, how she has incorporated Reiki and with her patients and such. So very interesting, great conversation. It was pre-recorded yesterday because she could not be with us here tonight. And one of the fun things that you'll hear is that she was a part of our overall team effort.
Dave, is that the bat phone?
It is the bat phone. The bat phone. The bat phone.
Hey, well, I wanted to say something about the Reiki is that, besides being like an energy life force kind of thing going on, they actually use this in hospitals there's a called hands-on healing, I think it is. My dad had that before he passed. And at that point, he was so far, gone that it made him more comfortable. But they're actually using it. There's something to this. I mean, they're not just poo-pooing it. And that's pretty awesome.
Right on. It's definitely one of those things that if you've never experienced it, you're probably like, yeah, whatever, just another one of those paranormal goofball claims, and we broached that during our conversation. So as I started to mention, we recorded this interview yesterday, and here in Cincinnati. But what for a fun little twist, we went to a local nature preserve and sat on some logs that are, if you're also a naturist, it's fallen trees, logs. And if you don't know the difference, well, neither do I. And we enjoyed the time of being amongst nature, talking about this particular practice. And so you'll hear some birds in the background chirping things during our interview, because I wanted to make it as unique as I could. And, you know, one of the things that we like to do on the show is be a little different. We're not just sitting in a radio studio and broadcasting to the world via WVQC 95.7 FM and via the web at insideparanormal.com. We're also out with these folks experiencing things in their way to bring us up to speed as well. So I am a firm believer that, you know, that things are good in their natural environment. So before we get started, let me remind everybody, our chat room, Teresa is monitoring the chat room. It is at insideparanormal.com. And look up on the top right, you will see a link that says chat with us live. You're also going to see a link that says listen to us live. So if you want to listen to us via the web versus via the radio at 95.7 FM in Cincinnati, you can certainly do that there. So without much more ado, we're going to start this interview here in just a couple moments. But again, I want to sit back and make sure you understand that this interview was really, how do I even want to say? This interview was taken seriously. And although you'll hear a couple giggles and silly jokes in there, you know, the reality is that I hope that we bring a new vision to Reiki for you. And if you've never experienced anybody practicing Reiki and you've maybe wanted to try it in the past, now's the time. You know, listen to this interview and make up your own mind. But I can tell you that I experience headaches quite a bit. I'm diabetic, and every now and again I might overindulge in some of my chocolate love. And also every now and again, my hip hurts because I'm getting a little bit older. I got a little bit of arthritis in me. And Teresa, although she's never really formally trained with Reiki, she's done some work with Missy in the past and with someone else named Bill. Teresa has just kind of a natural capability to seem to heal. And at times I've had some of the most screaminess headaches, and she has put her hands on my head and sometimes on my hip. And literally within a few minutes, either, you know, the pain has either subsided a lot or in some cases completely. And more often than not, her hands get really warm. I mean, yes, her hands are going to get warm because her body heat touching my body heat, you know, that's going to heat up your hands. But I mean, warm to the point where I've asked her to take her hands off of me because it's uncomfortably hot. And so that was a surprise to me, wondering, hey, I didn't know this could happen. And then here it is. So, Teresa, before we jump in with Missy, since you've never really been formally trained per se, other than conversations, mm-hmm. you know, what's, as someone who, you know, when I say I got a headache and you're trying to put your hands on me, you know, what is it you're trying to do? Are you trying to think? Are you trying to focus energy towards my head? Are you just laying there halfway asleep waiting for me to fall asleep? Give everybody a little bit of an idea about what it is that, from the practitioner side, and since you're not really a true practitioner yet, but someone who has given it a whirl with some natural healing faith, you know, what is it that you feel? Are you tingly? Are you excited? Do I make you hot, baby? That sort of thing.
Honestly, when I know or that there's a lot of pain going on around my hands, my body, particularly my hands, start to tingle and get real warm. I can feel like an energy flowing through me. And then my thought is to make contact with that person at the point of where the pain is. And also, like maybe, like with your head, I usually touch your head with one hand and then your elbow, almost like a circular sort of connection between you and me. And then I can feel that energy coming from me and through you. So it's a transference of energy to that area. I've never really done Reiki person. I mean, I helped someone else try to do it, but I never really was trained to do it. And from my understanding, I've been told by two different Reiki masters that I'm a natural, so I should finish my job. So, yeah, I'm going to get trained. That's basically what it is that it's a transference. Now, what I was doing early on when I started thinking I could do this was, before I realized, I was actually transferring my energy into people rather than what I call taking the energy from above or, you know, from the greater power I call God, through me rather than from me. And I have to say that as through, not from me, because I, you know, doing it as a person who can take the energy and it comes from you and it goes into another person can make me as a healer sick. You know, I lose that energy and then, you know, my system becomes compromised. And then, so I, from now on, I take the energy through me from God and then through my hands, through my body. And I actually feel really good when I'm doing it. I feel very energized.
Well, I can tell you that from my side of the story, my side of the fence, I am, you know, uncomfortable. I'm in pain. And after, you know, sometimes a few minutes, sometimes longer, it seems, you know, to subside fairly often, you know, and in some cases completely go away. So
yeah. Well, we actually did the thermal, we did the FLIR on my hands and could see a difference in temperature, pretty extreme difference in temperature when we did the FLIR on it, from to the point where I was expending or taking energy through my hands, and my hands usually become very red when that happens. And you could see that the blood flow increased and the energy had increased, and you could see that in the FLIR, so that was pretty cool.
Right on. All right, so without any further ado, we're going to jump into this interview with Missy. It runs about 30 minutes. It is pre-recorded. And once this interview ends, Teresa and I will jump back on and have a few more comments and we'll have some more discussion. So here we go. Here's Missy and myself yesterday talking about Reiki here on WVQC 95.7 FM. Hi, this is Dave from Inside the Paranormal, and we are in Cincinnati with Reiki Master Missy. We won't tell you her last name because she also has what will surprise you as a regular day job. Missy, how are you?
I'm good.
So tell us a little bit about how long you've been practicing Reiki and what it means for you to do that.
Well, for about 10 years, I've been a Reiki master. It's a very spiritual aspect of my life. It's wonderful. I don't go a day without doing Reiki, so it's a big part of my life.
You know, one of the things about Reiki is how much you're in touch with nature, and you know, obviously we hear birds in the background now. We came to a nature park because of the topic and what we're going to talk about, but for someone who practices Reiki, how important is it to be in tune with nature and just, you know, having that solace?
Well, nature is very important. Reiki actually is universal life force energy. And that type of energy is in every living thing. So when you're at one with nature, you're essentially at one with Reiki. So it's very important to be in touch with nature.
So in the past we've met you and we've jokingly said that you needed to hug a tree, but that's For many people that practice Reiki, that's not necessarily a joke, right? I mean, you guys are sometimes seriously about going over and spending a few moments meditating and maybe touching a rock or something that's connected to the earth to kind of ground yourself, right?
Absolutely. When I say hug a tree, I am very literal in that aspect. Trees have roots that go deep into the ground, and if you're ever upset or angry or sad or any type of negative emotion, go literally hug a tree and you can actually feel that energy going out through your body into the ground, and the tree takes care of that and, you know, turns it into positive energy for someone else, and it makes you feel better. It literally grounds you to the earth.
But it doesn't you guys don't fit into the same mold as like the Greenpeace kind of tree huggers, right? I mean, you guys, of course, want to protect the earth, you guys being Reiki practitioners, but on the other hand, you may not take it to the extreme of chaining yourself to a tree, right? Or would you?
I've never been given the chance to do that, but I'll tell you what, if I drive by an area where there used to be a forest, and it was cut down to make way for humans, for houses, for a retail center. I literally am brought to tears because trees are very essential to our life here on Earth. You know, they make the oxygen we need to live, and not only that, they're alive. And, you know, people might not believe it, but, you know, you cut down a tree, you not only cause the tree harm, you cause the humans harm. So if I was given the chance to protect the trees, I would.
I will keep my chainsaw hidden. So we've been speaking a few minutes with Missy from Cincinnati, who is a practicing Reiki master, and she also has a regular job, too, her day job that pays the bills. You know, I would like to back up and talk 1 minute, though, about being a practitioner of Reiki. You know, you have a regular job that pays the bills, but so far my experience with you has been that you use your Reiki for good and not necessarily for profit. Although many people profit, and there's nothing wrong with that, so far it seems like you've not chosen that route. Correct?
Correct. I feel as though Reiki is a gift from whoever you believe in as a higher power, Buddha, God, you know, whoever you believe in, Great Spirit. And I have a hard time asking for money. You know, there's a lot of Reiki masters that you know, automatically say, okay, $60 for an hour. I usually, if someone does want to pay me, I don't tell them what to pay me. I let them decide, you know, that if they want to pay me, that's fine. But I do not out and out say, you know, this is how much. It's a gift. Not everyone, you know, can be a Reiki master. You have to be very open-minded. You have to be a very, you know, spiritual person. And, you know, I don't feel it's right, but a lot of my friends that are in the spiritual practice of healing and Reiki and meditation and massage and all that stuff, they say, Missy, you really, you know, you need to say yes, you know, I will charge this amount. So I'm getting there. It's a work in progress.
Well, you know, that question could almost be leading down the wrong path. I know that there's some business opportunities coming your way, and that may or may not involve charging for their services, but I think we'll find somebody to go and do all the charging for you so that you can focus on the healing.
Right.
So let's go back to where I started. And you do have a more traditional career that might seem odd to many who are practitioners, and that career field is?
I am a registered nurse. I have been a registered nurse working in a busy hospital for the last 22 years.
And most of that, or at least some of that more recently, has been in the emergency room, correct?
Correct. For the last 5 years, I have worked in the emergency room.
So tell us a little bit about the pull that you might sometimes feel when a patient comes in with whatever issue that they're in the emergency room with, and modern science is doing whatever it's doing to them, maybe a lot of side effects from medicines they're taking or other things, and you know, are you feeling that if you just had that hour to spend with them, that Reiki might start leading them down the right path, or at least a helpful path, if not right, at least more helpful than what they're currently experiencing? And you know, how difficult is it for you to walk that thin line?
It can be very difficult sometimes because, you know, if you're not in the middle of saving somebody's life and pumping them full of drugs that are gonna, you know, keep them living, then you're taking care of people who may not believe in, you know, the spiritual aspect. So myself being a registered nurse, I have a license, and that license says that I can touch people. A lot of the times people don't even know that I'm sending healing energy into their body. I will just touch them, and the Reiki is a very intelligent energy. It knows who needs to be healed. It knows what needs to be healed in that person. So all I have to do is have intent. Reiki is not my energy. I am a conduit. I am a hollow bone. The energy flows through me. So all I have to do is have intent, place my hand on that person, and it either calms them down, brings them pain relief, or, you know, relaxes them to the point of where they can sleep. And sometimes I don't see an immediate effect of the Reiki energy. Sometimes it takes a day or two. And I've had a lot of people come back to me and, you know, ask me, what did you do? And I said, I didn't do anything. You know, it was, you know, it was Reiki energy. It wasn't me. You know, I just was just the conduit.
when you're in the hospital setting and you're around other science-related professionals, doctors, nurses, radiologists, etc., does the conversation of your Reiki practice and practicing come up? Is that a conversation that, if it does come up, is it a conversation that's well received or met with skepticism, a little bit of both?
When I first started practicing Reiki, people thought I was crazy. And then when someone would get a headache or they were really anxious or upset about something and I'd place my hands on them, they would be astounded as to, you know, how well they felt afterwards. I'd relieve their pain, I'd calm them down. So then, you know, people stopped calling me crazy and started saying, hey, go get Missy. She can, you know, help you with that. Being in the ER for 5 years, it takes a while. You plant the seeds, and some people down there still think I'm a little crazy. But the people that I have given Reiki to, they know who to go to. They come to me when they have a headache, when they're in pain, when they're upset, and I help them. I don't go out and advertise it, you know, because with Reiki, you don't have to. You plant a seed and it grows and people come to you.
So you talk about people thinking you might be a little crazy. Is it because you're crazy? Or is it because you talk about Reiki?
It's because of the Reiki. It's because of, you know, people don't believe that another person can place their hands and you can feel this energy flowing through their hands. My hands get hot, they get cold. People feel tingly sensations in their arms, their legs, their face. I had one nurse tell me that she felt like she was melted butter sliding right off the seat she was in. So, you know, people are afraid of what they don't understand. It is pretty much unknown. Not a lot of people have heard of Reiki, especially in a hospital setting. So, you know, they think I'm crazy because they don't understand it.
You know, it seems to be more and more, at least in the last few years, that many medical facilities, whether they be short-term facilities or long-term facilities, are starting to incorporate more non-traditional therapies, whether it be aromatherapies or Reiki or some type of massage therapy or other things that are not just drugs and needles and bed turns. You know, do you see that becoming more and more mainstream in the next, you know, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road? Do you see that becoming mainstream at all?
I really hope so. There are lots of hospitals all over the country that actually have holistic centers within them. And I think it is a wonderful thing to do, to actually give people a choice. You know, you're always going to probably need the allopathic medicine, which is the Western medicine. But, you know, what I do, the Reiki and the herbs and the meditation, that is just complementary. You know, it is not going to interfere with any of the other type of medications or therapies that they're receiving. It is going to help them. So I hope it does become mainstream. I really don't know what to expect from the future, but I have a lot of hope for it.
So, and to be clear, you don't advocate that somebody that has cancer or some other anything, even if it's just a flu, you know, stop doing what they're doing to take care of themselves and run to some Reiki master. Just for reference, I'm the one that's always saying Reiki. But anyway, so, but you don't advocate that, right? You're still advocating a balanced approach, it sounds like, anyway, right?
Absolutely. Don't ever stop taking the medication that your medical doctor or any other type of physician, you know, has told you to take. That can be very, very dangerous. What I do suggest is a balance, you know, let the doctor know that, you know, you're doing this, you're seeing a Reiki master or you're seeing an herbalist, or, you know, make sure that you tell that herbalist or you tell that medical doctor, hey, I'm doing this, because, you know, medications do have side effects, and there are some herbs that, you know, when they're mixed with allopathic or the Western medicine, you know, there can be problems. So you have to be careful. You have to know what you're putting into your body, and your doctor and your herbalist or your Reiki master, they have to be aware of that. So yeah, don't stop taking that medication just because you're seeing a Reiki master.
So So back years ago, maybe 40s, 50s, 60s, and even to current modern day, there were many faith healers and other people that carried different names, and they would do the laying of hands, and oftentimes it would amount to groups of people visiting someone who was ill to some degree or on a deathbed. And, you know, was that, you know, what Reiki is now? Is that, was that what that was then? Or is it a different, is that different? Is faith healing with the laying of hands a different form of channeling energy, same basic concept?
Personally, I believe that back in the day, like you said, back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, a lot of the faith healers used their own energy. Maybe they were natural healers. Maybe, you know, some of them were not true to form. They were not doing what they said they were doing. But the ones that were true, that I believe that they were natural healers. Now, Reiki has been, you know, in this country for a long time. It was brought over from Japan by a man named Mikao Isui, and he is the one that introduced traditional Reiki, you know, to the United States, and him and his followers. So, you know, I honestly don't know. I mean, I have done a lot of research, you know, on Reiki, and, you know, there are lots of theologians that say that Reiki was actually practiced by Jesus, that that's what he would do when he would heal. Now, whether that's true, I don't know. But, you know, that's just a thought.
So it sounds like you must have just known the questions I was going to ask, because that leads us right into a great segue of Reiki isn't just one thing, or isn't just one belief system, one style. There are at least several styles. And depending on your approach or your belief system, you may very well become conversant in any one or all of these. Can you give us some idea about some of the other styles, maybe the origins or what might be different about it?
Sure. There are lots of different traditions of Reiki. It honestly depends on what part of the world you live in. There is a form of Reiki called Seikim, which comes from Egypt. There are several different forms that come out of Tibet, and honestly, I cannot remember all the names, but it depends on what part of the world you live in and who you come into contact with as to which form of Reiki you might be trained in. So it's all Reiki, no matter what tradition you're using, it is all universal life force energy, and the only thing that's different is the symbols that you use, that you either say the name of the symbol, you draw it with your hands, and that's where the energy can be amplified. There's different symbols for different things. Like there is two power symbols in traditional Mikao Isui Reiki, and there's a symbol for emotional healing, and then we have a symbol for long distance healing. Like you don't have to be sitting next to me for me to give you Reiki. You can be on the other side of the country, on the other side of the world, because energy knows no boundaries. There is no time with energy. There is no distance with energy. It just is.
So if someone wanted to, let's back up before I ask that question and ask, if you had a sore knee, are you able to practice Reiki on yourself? Or is that something that someone else needs to channel, if that's a proper word, you with that particular energy?
I give myself Reiki every night. Kind of like I'm giving myself a hug, just putting my arms around myself. And being a nurse, my mind goes a mile a minute trying to figure everything out that's gone on and everything I need to do the next day. So I give myself Reiki every night. And the first thing that Reiki does is to relax you. So that's how I relax myself enough to where I can fall asleep. I have gotten rid of headaches on myself and other pains. But there always comes a time that you are a Reiki master and you are in need of another Reiki master. And I have gotten healing from other Reiki masters. So, you know, there's always a need for a Reiki master to have another Reiki master for healing, yes.
Let's talk a little bit about becoming a Reiki master and what that really entails. You know, there are plenty of online workshops. There are plenty of in-person workshops. Some of these are several weeks. Some of these are several weekends. Some are hours in a day. And of course, depending on where you go, they might be either free or have some cost to having that education and that knowledge imparted. Tell us a little bit about your knowledge of the training and what's really necessary to become a Reiki master where you could really help other people.
Well, first of all, I don't believe that it should cost thousands of dollars to become a Reiki master. I feel as though, and this is the same way that my Reiki master teacher felt also, that the earth and the people that live on this earth are in desperate need of healing, and to spend thousands of dollars or years practicing to become a Reiki master, that we don't have time for that. That the people on this earth and the earth itself is in desperate need of healing, and Reiki masters can help with that. So I believe that if the person is open-minded and is a spiritual person, and you know, I can tell if someone is ready and is able. So it just takes, you know, maybe a day or two, in my opinion, to read through some material and to learn the history of the traditional Reiki, Makawi, Sui, and go from there. I mean, you know, people that are Reiki masters, they kind of have a sixth sense when it comes to people that are going to be good at this, or people that are just, you know, doing it because it's the thing to do. So, you know, I don't have any hard feelings against the Reiki master teachers that want to charge thousands of dollars or have their students go through years of training. You know, that is what they choose to do. What I choose to do is, you know, whoever I can attune to Reiki master level, you know, so that they can attune others.
So becoming, from my limited experience and knowledge, that I've somehow in my mind correlated it to like playing poker. You know, you can learn the rules of poker in a day or two, but mastering that can become a lifetime to really understand the nuances and the individuals and reading them and reading human emotion and things like that, and how much that changes. And it seems to be fairly similar to becoming a Reiki master, is that you might learn the steps in a day or two, but becoming really proficient and in tune with that particular skill set is probably not in a day or two, right?
Correct. It's a practice, and the reason we call it a practice is you have to practice it every single day. Now, once you become attuned to Reiki, you will never lose that ability. That will always be within you. There might come times in your life where you're not using it, or maybe you've lost your way, you've gone a different path, and you think it's gone. I've been there. I have been to where you get so depressed, and you know, you think, oh my gosh, I've lost, you know, the ability to give Reiki to someone. Guess what? No, you don't lose it. I've been doing this for 10 years, and I can honestly say there was probably a 6 or an 8 month period where I didn't give Reiki to anyone. And I'm still able to do that. It is a part of you always, you know, and you have to learn. I mean, after you become a Reiki master, you have to practice it. You have to pretty much, you know, have the laying of hands on someone and see what that energy feels like, and see, you know, how it affects you and what kind of effects it is on your patient or your friend or whoever you're giving Reiki to, so that you know what it feels like. You know how that energy flows. It's never harmful. It's an intelligent energy. You know, when I give Reiki to people, it wakes me up. I get like a surge of energy. Whoever I'm giving Reiki to, they get tired, and sometimes they fall asleep. They're very relaxed. So, but yeah, you have to practice it. You have to, I would say, get 6 months to a year under your belt before, you know, you can even think about teaching Reiki or attuning someone else to Reiki.
So that leads me down one of my last questions of, you know, as the person that's performing Reiki on someone else, you know, what are the, I don't want to say pitfalls, because you already indicated that it's a positive experience, but are there times where you can feel drained, or you can transfer whatever pain or emotion that you're helping that person discard is that transference possible, or is that something that the energy takes care of for both of you?
Reiki is grounding. Reiki comes from all living things, most of which are the trees and whatnot, and they're naturally grounded to the earth. So as a Reiki practitioner, you are naturally grounded, you are protected, you're not going to absorb anything from the person that you are sending Reiki to. If you were a natural healer, you would have to protect yourself. You would have to go and ground after doing a healing session because you're using your own energy. But because I'm not using my own energy, there's never a chance, you know, for me to absorb that person's energy or problem. Now, you know, there has been times where that has happened to me, but that's not because I was using Reiki. When you're using Reiki, you are protected.
So on those times where you might absorb some of that, that's more because of a personal connection that you're making that's outside of that energetic world, and you're just transferring more of the mental emotion than the physical?
Correct. Any time that you are at an emotional level where you're not protecting yourself, you can always, you know, absorb someone else's energy. I am also what they call an empath, which means I can feel what's going on with people that are very close to me, people that I care about, you know, take on, you know, what their problem is, headache, pain, or whatever, sickness. I've done that. And sometimes being an empath, you don't notice that it's not your energy until you start feeling that way and you're like, oh, hey, wait a minute. This is not my energy. And then you just have to ground. You have to get rid of it. But while practicing Reiki, you never have to worry about absorbing someone else's energy or problem or illness.
So what is there about Reiki now that someone like myself, who has a very cursory introduction to that world, what is it that we read on the web or that we don't read on the web, or the questions that we don't know to ask? What is there that you could tell us that we'd be like, oh man, I never thought of that, or I didn't think to ask that? Is there something about this craft that the rest of us are still blind to?
As far as Reiki goes, it can sometimes be called, I call it a lie detector. I call it my, you know, alarm of impending doom sometimes. Sometimes I'll be at work, or I'll be at the grocery store, or at home, or wherever I'm at, and the Reiki will just start flowing. And the Reiki energy for me feels like a mild sunburn. And it usually, I can feel it in my face, in my arms, my legs, and it, with it being an intelligent energy, it knows when something's going on. It can be like a radar detector, lie detector, whatever you want to call it, and it's there to protect me, and it's there to protect, you know, the people around me, to let me know, hey, something's up. So then I find myself stopping and looking around and saying, okay, who's in need of healing? What's going on? Is it me? Is it something with me that's going on? Or is it somebody that's around me? Or is it somebody that, you know, that I'm close to, that I love, that maybe I should call? And that's happened a lot. So that's, you know, it does, I don't have to say, okay, I'm going to heal this person now. I don't always have to say, have intent for the Reiki to flow. It's an intelligent energy. It flows, you know, at times when it feels as necessary.
Very good. Well, we have been speaking with Missy out of Cincinnati, who, as you now know, is a 10-year Reiki master and a 22-year registered nurse working in the emergency room for the last 5 years. So if you're one of those folks that believes that science and the metaphysical can't coexist, at least in one person in Cincinnati, it certainly does. So, Missy, I want to say thanks for spending the time out in the woods with me. And we get done with this, we'll go hug a tree.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, so there we go.
That was a good one, Dave. I liked that interview.
Thank you.
Gave a lot of good information.
You know, Missy, you know, she is what she is. You know, she is sometimes very confident of herself, and at other times she is like, I just don't know what the hell I'm doing. But always with, when it comes to Reiki, she never exhibits any measure of lack of confidence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's like anybody else. You know, we all make decisions that we second guess. We all do things like, you know, what were we thinking? That was stupid. And she's no different than that. She's a registered nurse, so lives are in her hands in emergency room. Decisions and actions that she takes can cost a life or save a life. And, you know, she mentions throughout this interview that, you know, at times during in the ER and in hospital rooms, that because as a nurse, she has to put her hands on people to give them shots or to clear some debris or to wash some wound or to do something physically hands-on. And that gives her an opportunity to let that Reiki flow. And she indicated at one point that in some cases, it just kind of turns itself on without her consciously doing it. And and she indicated, I think, at one point in an interview that I take that back. After we finished the interview, as we were walking away from the spot in the woods, heading out to the cars in the parking lot, she indicated to me during that walk that she forgot to pass along a story about how a patient was in her one of her hospital rooms and just having extreme migraines. And but that's not what they were really there for. But that was one of the things. And so this patient is waiting for the drugs, you know, through the hospital. You have to get the order. It comes up from the pharmacy, check, double check, triple check, blah, blah, blah. So while they're waiting for that process, Missy starts talking to this patient about Reiki and what it is and says, you know, would you like me to try? And this guy apparently was like, hey, anything, whatever, this thing hurts. My head's killing me. So, and about an hour and a half later, you know, he wakes up and says, so I guess those drugs really knocked me out. I'm sorry I fell asleep on you. And she said, sir, you haven't had your shot yet.
Oh, wow.
So.
Have one of those in each room, huh? Think of all the money everybody would save.
Right. So, I mean, she proceeds to say, hey, you know, I had my hands on you for just a few minutes and you were sound asleep. And then your medicine came up. I still have it here for you. So if it happens again, you get this again and you want that medicine. And I guess they had some ongoing conversation for the times that she was in and out of his room while she was also visiting other patients. And, you know, whatever happened, happened. And so, hey, you know.
That's awesome.
She mentioned also on the walk back to the cars how patients afterwards, like after their discharge from the hospital, had contacted her somehow. And I wasn't sure if they came back to the hospital to see her or somehow called her through the hospital or whatever. But, you know, contacted her like, hey, you know, what's this stuff all about? And, mm-hmm. you know, how do I get in touch and this, that, and the other. So, you know, she certainly has made an impression on some people. And, you know, and at one point she talks about how her coworkers, some of them think she's crazy. So I asked her, are you really crazy? She laughed, but she didn't say
that. Well, it's because a lot of that has to do with not being educated on the subject.
Right. But, you know, when I asked her.
People always fear or mock things they don't understand, right?
Right.
I mean, that's pretty much the way it goes.
But, you know, when I asked her if she was crazy, she never answered the question.
The grounds that it may incriminate her.
She says, she just kind of laughed and then finished answering the question. I'm like, was answering the question related to her coworkers. You know, that some that have had migraines at work and other things that have worked with her know that she can do what she says, and the others just kind of dismiss her. But so, yeah, thankfully we know her and we get to see her often enough. So I'm going to remind her, and I know that right now she's at work at the hospital until 9:30, not able to hear us live. But I'm going to send her a copy of this entire hour so she can re-listen to it. So, Missy, when you hear this, just remember, you never answered the question, are you crazy? So
crazy for life, crazy in love, whatever. Hey, David, did you mention that she was going to possibly be with us working?
You know, it's funny. One of the questions during the interview, and for those of you listening now, Teresa did not get a chance to hear this interview live yet, so she doesn't really know what it said. She's right now on the phone with us, not here in the studio live with me, so she was not able to hear what was going on. But one of the opportunities, or one of the questions that I took the opportunity to ask was, you know, about charging for services. And she's like, yeah, you know, my friends do, and I don't mind anybody doing it, but for me, it's a gift. And She's like, yeah, my friends are saying you got to charge. And other people have tried to offer her money. And she says, whatever you can afford to pay. And right. So, you know, and I even said, you know, I'm leading you down a path to make you sound like a hypocrite. And that's not the intent. I said, for everybody that doesn't know, Missy has some opportunity coming up to, you know, start a business, a Reiki business. And she's going to be accepting that opportunity. However, I jokingly said, well, we're going to just let you do the practice and we'll find somebody else to talk about the money. And that way, because it is uncomfortable. You know, you feel like you have a gift. I mean, I don't feel, you know, my best gift is lawn mowing, and I really hate that gift. And, I like to charge mowing the grass, and nobody will pay me. And, you know, but she really feels like she has a gift, and then that gift should be used. And asking somebody to pay her. But, you know, if you go somewhere and you spend 8-16 hours in a day, and you're doing it 2-3 days in a row, it's a lot of time. It's time away from family. It's possibly
right. You know, from your work.
Right. Yeah. You might have took a couple of days off work to go do what you're doing. So
none of us are independently wealthy. So
all right.
You know.
I mean, it is.
We want to make a big buck on anybody because that's not the way we roll. Right. But
that's a thin line. She mentioned that a fair price is for somebody doing Reiki. Yeah. $60 an hour is a fair price to charge. But and again, I don't know what will be charged at her new venture. And as her venture kicks off, we'll certainly let people know about it. It'll be in the Cincinnati area. So if you are in Cincinnati and you want to have somebody try it out, sure, there are other practitioners around. And, you can certainly check into them. But I can tell you that Missy is very good at what she does. And coming from a skeptic, which is me, I can say that, Teresa, although she's my fiance, I would certainly tell you that she can't do it if she couldn't do it, and I would not hold back. And I think most people that know me know that that is the case. So saying that Missy is good at what she does, you know, that's an honest opinion. So, you know, it is what it is. Great stuff. So Missy, thanks for your hour yesterday with me and getting that interview recorded, and hopefully, you know, it represented you in the way that you want it represented. By the way, for those listening, that interview is completely unedited. As you can hear, there's cars driving by in the background. There's me as I'm asking my question. I had some predefined questions written down for myself to not forget, but then I kind of modified some of my questions because of her answers that she gave. And, you know, during that interview, you'll hear me, you know, kind of talking while I'm thinking. And, you know, that's how I like to do my interviews. I want them unedited. I want them live. I want them real. You know, I don't want you to think it's all scripted or that they knew what was coming and had a chance to practice their answers, because you'll hear her say, oh, wow. And she had to take a pause to think about the answer. And that's, for me, that's the best kind of interviews. Real, you know, honest. If you're going to say something, it's going to be what's on your mind at the moment and not a practiced or rehearsed answer. So. So, Missy, thanks a lot. You did a great job. But are you crazy?
Stop.
All right. So
she's a very nice person. We're really happy to have met her and we know her.
Right on.
She's very giving and caring.
Yes. And she has a psycho son. I mean, psychic son. No, I'm just kidding there, buddy. I treat all the psychics as psychos until otherwise proven non-psychotic.
Yeah, you need to watch that, because one day we're all going to come up on you and just put a psychic keeper herd on you or something.
Well,
I don't know.
It's like that TV commercial, we all bundle.
That's right.
We're all psychics.
You're just jealous. Don't be hating on the psychic.
I know. Don't play a hate. Hate the game, not the
don't
player.
Don't be a hater.
That's right. Hey, so off the subject a little bit, let me tell folks that if you didn't know, they just left today, so it's safe to say. But if you're a Ghost Adventures fan and you're around Cincinnati, there's a place called the Sedamsville Rectory. If you've never heard of it, where the hell are you? Anyway, if you're outside of Cincinnati, look up Haunted Rectory, RECTORY.com, and check that place out. It's a former Catholic church rectory. A rectory is where the Catholic priests would live during their service to a church parish. And our team, Cornerstone, has been down there 9 or 10 different days. When we've had some interesting experiences, to say the least. Well, Ghost Adventures crew was in town this week. They filmed an episode. You will see it featured on Ghost Adventures. I do not know the air date for that particular episode, but literally they just finished filming last night. They flew out
of Cincinnati.
And if
you go to their Facebook page, I think Aaron is Goodwin has pictures of Cincinnati.
Right, yep.
On his page. He didn't say where. Right. He could recognize the places.
Right. If you knew Cincinnati, you knew that's where he was. And and even Tim and Terry, who run the Sedansville Rectory, and on the Sedansville Rectory Facebook page, have uploaded pictures of themselves with the GAC team. And also with Patrick Burns, who is not normally part of GAC, but was there for the filming this week. And
cool.
So check that out at hauntedrectory.com. Look him up on Facebook as Sedansville Rectory. And yeah, very cool. So for us coming up, we've got a lot of stuff coming up. I can't even think about all the things, but if you give me a minute, I'm going to...
Well, a lot of Halloween stuff.
Yep. Coming up September, you know, next week on this show at this time, 8 o'clock Eastern on WVQC 95.7 FM Cincinnati and InsideParanormal.com, Britt Griffith from Ghost Hunters will be on our show live.
Cool.
So join us with Britt. He's been on other shows before. We were able to interview him last year at Scarefest down in Kentucky. And although then it was only a 5 or 10 minute interview, if you've never heard this guy do an interview before, he's very funny. He does not, you know, take himself seriously. You know, he doesn't think, oh, I'm a star, you can't talk to me that way. He's very down to earth, very funny, and it'll be a great hour. So join us next week for that. Coming up in September, if you are in Cincinnati and other places near and far, the Haunted Entertainment, if you've never heard of them, go to hauntedentertainments.com or look them up on Facebook as Haunted Entertainment. And you'll find that they do a lot of paranormal events around the country. In September, on the 15th, we will be at the world-famous Bobby Mackey's. Yours truly will be one of the featured speakers amongst the others. So please come out, check us out. The night before on the 14th, while Teresa's doing dishes in the background, we will be
I'm not doing dishes in the background.
We will be...
I'm at a bar right now, David.
There you go.
There's a drink clinking together.
Sweet, that's what I want to do. The night before, we will be up at the Pottstown Elementary School, which is just north of Cincinnati, Middletown. It's a privately owned former elementary school that has a lot of activity. Our team has been there several times. We've had some odd experiences. Geophones going off, voices that we could hear, FLIR imagery that was very odd. Our dog chasing a shadow person down the hall that wasn't there to begin with. So all kinds of neat stuff. And so we'll be there the night before on the 15th or the 14th. And then the 15th at Bobby Mackey's. So if you've not heard of it before, you can check it out at InsideParanormal.com, CornerstoneParanormal.com. Our Facebook page is Facebook.com/InsideParanormal and Facebook.com/CornerstoneParanormal. Haunted Entertainment, whew, a lot of them. So if you can't find if you can't find it, it's only because you didn't look. So that's coming up in September. Also in September and October for the Cornerstone team, we'll be doing quite a bit of promo stuff for Halloween and, of course, you know, all the paranormal groups get into this field. October is just busy for all of us. So we'll be the Hamilton
County... Doing some promotional stuff on 96 Rock.
Yep, 96 Rock, another FM station here in Cincinnati who is part of the Cumulus Media Group. 95.7 FM here is part of Media Bridges Community Radio.
We'll have a contest, right?
That's right. We'll be doing a contest on our station and on 96 Rock for none other than joining us, some of our DJs from here at this station, the 96 Rock station, the Cornerstone Paranormal team, and possibly a surprise special guest or two at the aforementioned Sedansville Rectory. It's going to be free. Normally, this place charges $300. So you want to save some cash, you want to have some fun, you want to check out a Catholic church rectory. Stay tuned. Check us out, InsideParanormal.com, and we'll be giving away some free tickets to come investigate with us at this place on Halloween.
Cool.
And dress up. It's Halloween.
I'm getting excited. We also have some things coming up at a few of the libraries, right, David?
That's right.
One out in Anderson?
Yep, the Hamilton County Public Library has graciously allowed us space in the past to do presentations. And they contacted us recently saying, hey, you guys did a great job. Can you and your dog come to certain branches and do some presentations and make it a family-friendly event? So on the 6th of October, we'll be at the Anderson Library Branch in Cincinnati starting at 2 p.m. Eastern. And what we'll be doing there is talking a little bit about paranormal investigating. We'll have our dog there, and we'll talk a little bit about how dogs react. And then we're going to have some crafts, some refreshments, some food, some drink provided by the public library. And we'll be making, I don't know, Teresa's our art director, so we might be making some ghosts, we might be making some pumpkins, I don't know, but we'll be making something with the kids. And then the following Wednesday night, 7 p.m., the 10th of October, we'll be at the Harrison branch of the Hamilton County Public Library doing much of the same thing, although this time it'll be centered a little bit more around the adults and more around the scary aspects of paranormal investigating and what can go wrong and that sort of thing. So not so much for the kids, but more so for the adults. But again, refreshments and some drinks are provided, non-alcoholic. The only spirits we're seeking, and I repeat, not BYOB.
Thank you.
The only spirits we seek are the boo-boo kind, the ones that go boo.
That's right.
So a lot of good stuff coming up in October. We'll also be out with 96 Rock on the 27th of October. And that is for their Creepin' Pub Crawl at in Northern Kentucky. We joined in on that a couple years ago. So we dress up and we go with them to several different pubs searching for the liquid spirits that time. So, yes. We will.
There's some craziness going on that time.
We all.
Seriously. Is that what you're going to dress up?
That's right.
Year?
I'm going to have a big smiley face with a big ball of cord saying, "We all bundle."
There you go. It's a puppy.
So anyway.
anyone who doesn't watch TV just missed all that. So.
Yes. And it's completely ridiculous, but funny nonetheless. So we'll be out with them that night. Now, on the 27th. Let me get my dates right here. On the 20-something. Oh, now I got to go look, Therese, because I can't remember the dates in October. On the 26th of October. On the 26th is two things for us. One, we'll be on the air live at 8 o'clock here. And we'll have Victor Peruta, who is a psychic medium based in Cincinnati, and who also this year has his 20th year hosting the Victory of Light Festival here in Cincinnati. So
that thing is awesome, too. If you ever never been there, people, you need to go because it's huge, and they've got some, even if you're not into psychics, they've got just all kinds of things, cool music, they've got stones and crystals.
Buddhist monks from Tibet.
Oh, yeah. It's neat to go and just see all the people.
The Buddhist monks last year made me a handmade talisman that kind of looks like me. It's very cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm. But that same night at...
We're going to be there. Go ahead.
That's right. So the 26th, Victor Peruta live with us here in studio. Same night, later in the night, at 1 a.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I will be featured live on the George Norrie Coast to Coast AM. So what's fun about that for me is that A, our team and this show gets a little bit of national exposure that we don't already have, and B, we'll be on for an entire hour, which is very rare. The opening hour is considered his feature hour, and normally he has two guests, 30 minutes each, and we're going to get the entire hour. So join in and hear why we're special enough to get an entire hour on Coast to Coast AM. Friday night.
Well, I know why they had 26. To do that. Why they had to give you a full hour.
Because I won't shut up.
Exactly.
Shut up. That's okay.
I can't. Hey, I'm just speaking the truth.
That's all right. It's a talk show. I'm supposed to talk. Otherwise, it would be called a non-talk show.
And we could do sign language and it wouldn't work.
That's right. So a lot of great stuff. And as Teresa alluded to, throughout the month of October, the 96 Rock Cumulus radio station sponsors local haunted houses and haunted corn mazes, and our team Cornerstone and Teresa and I from Inside the Paranormal will be out and about doing a meet and greet. Now, what does that mean? Well, we're going to bring some of our audio for you to listen to, EVPs, some of our photographic evidence that we've captured, and some of our videos and of the dog reacting in ways that she reacts, And we'll let
we could do some interviewing while we're there, talk to people about their ghost experiences.
That's
That'd be kind of a fun show to do, wouldn't it? Compilation of stories.
Right. So get your best Halloween story out and join 96rock.com or purerock96.com is our website, purerock96.com, and listen to us here, our Facebook pages, everything else, et cetera. We'll certainly keep you in a loop. Come out and join us, meet us, and let us interview you. You tell us about your stories. So, it's a mouthful. It's 9:58 in the East. We are just about out of time. I want to say thank you to everyone who has joined us tonight. I want to say thank you to Missy once again for yesterday spending the time to get that interview recorded. I want to say thank you for Teresa for being at a bar. And
you're welcome. You want me to have one for you?
Yes, yes, please. She's at her ghost bar having spirits.
I'm having my cranberry tonic.
Yikes.
I don't know.
Is there chocolate?
It's actually cranberry and soda water.
Is there chocolate in that?
No.
No, I don't want nothing to do with it then. All right, 8:59 in the East. We are out of here. Inside the Paranormal Radio. Next week, remember, Britt Griffith Live, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 95.7 FM. If you are local to Cincinnati, you can go to WVQC.org and stream it live. You can also go to InsideParanormal.com. Check out on the top right, you'll see a link to stream the audio and also to join us in a chat room if you would like us to ask Britt a question on your behalf. You can also call in and ask him yourself. So until next week, Teresa, any final words of wisdom?
Everyone have a great evening.
There he is from the mouths of babes. Having a great evening. Thanks again. We are Inside the Paranormal and we are out. Good night, everyone. Yeah.